Hello and welcome to episode 5. Is that right? Episode
that is
5.
Correct.
5 of our podcast in the shadow of the evening trees. I'm Dave Von Ebers.
And I'm Jennifer Von Ebers.
And we're recording not on our usual Monday night or sometimes Sunday night, but we're actually recording on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
It is about 40 degrees outside in the Chicago area. We've had up and down weather all week. So hopefully we're not going to get a blizzard over Thanksgiving weekend, but it's been very strange.
Yes.
Weather-wise, but I guess that's normal.
It is. Arctic chill and then 50s.
Yeah, we had a swing of about 33 degrees from Monday morning to Tuesday morning when we were out walking. So that's a little bit crazy. But anyway, this is not really about the weather.
That's true.
We're actually going to talk about Thanksgiving and the holidays coming up and all that. So we'll call this our Thanksgiving special.
I like that.
It's not going to be like a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Exactly. But
we're not making toast.
We're not going to make toast or popcorn. Well, yeah. You might make popcorn.
I might make popcorn.
You like popcorn.
I do.
You make popcorn frequently.
I do.
But yeah, so it's also kind of a significant day for us.
Yes, we met the day before Thanksgiving and 28 years ago.
Yeah, it was 1993.
So crazy.
If you can believe it. Which
we
still
were babies.
Seems, yeah, it still seems a little bizarre to me.
It does.
That it could possibly have been 28 years ago. But since we have kids in their 20s, it's really not that surprising.
Yes.
But you like to tell the story.
I do.
So I'll let you tell the story.
I kind of think it's like fate. Sometimes a decision that you make can change the course of your life.
It's a Rolling Stones song.
Yes.
The Hand of Fate.
And this decision did change the course of my life because on the day before Thanksgiving, I had my own apartment.
The year was 1993.
The year was 1993. And I had worked all day and then just planned a fun evening at home for myself with frozen pizza. And
you always wanted to be a banker.
I always wanted to be a banker.
There are a lot of Seinfeld jokes.
I was a banker.
References. You were a banker, which is great. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Got a Blockbuster video. I don't know what movie I rented. I can't
remember
that.
Blockbuster. Yeah.
And I got my pajamas on. I was just ready to like enjoy an evening at home, but before the next day of getting together with family.
Was it a Betamax tape or a VHS tape?
It was VHS. Yeah. But then my friend called me and said, we're all going out, come out. And I was like, but I don't want to come out. I'm already like, you know, ready for like my night in and everything. But she quickly changed my mind. And so I went out and then I met David at the bar that night.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's always a great story when you could say, oh, we met in a bar. But it is a true story. It is a true story. I'm not getting choked up.
Don't cry.
Yeah, I'm not going to cry. I was taking a sip of water and it disagreed with me. And I had sort of like the opposite experience in a sense because a group of people that from high school and college and whatnot, we always got together on that Wednesday. We were all talking about going out. Everyone had plans to go out. We met at a place, or a few of us met at a place where we typically meet in lovely Forest Park, Illinois. And it was kind of a bust. All of my friends were like, you know, married, and they were starting to have kids, and they left.
So at the crack of 9, yeah, it was like,
okay, night, yeah. It might have been all of 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so I was stuck with my two friends, Joel and John. Joel, of course, was a father in those days, had small kids, but that didn't stop him from wanting to... Actually, in Joel's defense, I believe they only had one kid at the time.
That's
nonetheless,
true.
Nonetheless, he was not one to go home at the crack of 9.
No.
So we ended up going to a different bar because we were bummed that our initial plan fell through. And so again, that was kind of a weird twist of fate.
It was. And after that night, we pretty much went out. You called me like that next day.
But, well, maybe you didn't tell the actual part of the story.
Oh, yes. So I was sitting at the table with my friends, and then it had money to put in the jukebox.
Because there were jukeboxes back then. And you had actual, it wasn't Bitcoin. It was actual coins.
Yes.
There were actual coins that you put in a jukebox.
And you got to pick up your own songs.
To play these things called CDs. We used to joke about people not knowing what records are, what albums are.
Right.
Now everybody knows what vinyl is. Nobody uses CDs anymore.
No, not at all. So I was went over to the jukebox to put money in, and then you happened to be near there with your friends, and then we started talking.
Yeah, well, that's true, except, again, it was my friend Joel who was creating a potentially awkward situation, giving you a hard time. You're just minding your own business.
Yeah, trying to pick out my songs.
I was minding my own business. Joel wanted, I guess, to live vicariously through us.
Maybe so.
No, I'm kidding about that. Joel's happily married. He was happily married then, still happily married.
Yes.
Important fact, to the same person.
Yes.
That hasn't changed.
Yes.
So there was nothing inappropriate about him having a conversation with you, but he was clearly trying to draw me into that conversation.
That is true. That is true.
And I was embarrassed. The only real reason I think that I piped up at all was because I was embarrassed because I felt like he was giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
Turns out.
So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Turns out it was all well intentioned.
Yes.
And the rest is history.
So I went back to the table with my friends, and then David came over, and we ended up talking the rest of the night. I gave you my phone number, my work, and my landline.
But you mixed them up.
Yes.
So.
You were able to find me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a fake number situation.
That's true.
It's just that you mixed up the home and so I didn't know what number I was calling. I thought I did. I thought I knew what number I was calling. But anyway.
I still have that coaster somewhere.
And then we went out for Mexican food.
That is true.
That's Sunday, I think.
And then we're pretty much together ever since.
Yeah, that's, again, it was a long time ago. It doesn't seem like that many years ago.
It doesn't.
But it was, and then from that point on, then we ended up getting an apartment together and eventually getting married and having kids, and somehow now we're really old, which seems odd. But so Thanksgiving is always kind of a big deal.
It is.
A big deal.
It is a big deal.
Although it's kind of low-key now, you know, so for a few years after we met, we would not, like, recreate that night, but we would go out, or at the very least, we'd be at home and have some cocktails and celebrate and acknowledge it.
Yes.
Now we're just kind of sitting around the dining room table, not so much partying, but we're still here. And that's the important point.
Yes.
So that's kind of a fun story. However, you know, I mean, it does kind of, to segue into a more serious topic, not that it isn't serious, but it's serious in a good way. But in a maybe a more challenging way, you know, this, you were coming into the holidays, and that's always, I mean, that's a challenging time of year for people in the best of times.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of obligations, you're running around and going to see people and going to events.
Spending money.
You know, you might have work events that, you know, and sometimes your job can be really crazy this time of year, so it's always a lot of pressure anyway. But then when you add all the different things that are going on in the world today, you know, a lot of us, this will be like the first time we've actually gotten together with family in a couple of years because of the pandemic. Although we've seen our family, especially over the last, say, 6 months.
Yes.
But this, you know, this is kind of like the first big holiday where people are getting together. Unfortunately, some people got together last year and we ended up with a big spike in COVID following Thanksgiving. No one anticipates that that's going to happen this year, but although I shouldn't say that because anything is possible.
That's true.
But, you know, I mean, since Thanksgiving of 2019, think of all the things that have gone on. We went through a very hotly contested election. We had, you know, months of people trying to challenge the results of that election. We had people behaving like idiots, storming the Capitol and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that's all very stressful. In the last few weeks, we've had these big, high-profile cases that have, you know, really big social impacts. You know, just today, the jury in Georgia found three men guilty of murdering Ahmaud Arbery. I'm probably not pronouncing his name right, and I'm sorry about that. Ahmaud Arbery. I think his nickname was Maud. In any event, very sad story that he was, you know, killed for just being out running, and three people thought that a black man running through their neighborhood was inherently suspicious, and he ended up dead. So my point is, we've had these really intense experiences over the last, last couple of years, and especially it seems in the last few months. So there's just, you know, it's a challenging time. And then when you add into it, you know, there's been this long period of time where people couldn't get together, all these controversial events, there's a lot of animosity and strong feelings about things that are going on. And then on top of all that, you know, if you're in any kind of a marginalized community, and you find yourself having to maybe get together with family members who don't necessarily understand you, or maybe don't approve of you or whatever, you know, that just adds a whole nother layer of complexity in the situation.
It sure does.
And I think, you know, for the community that we're talking about in particular, people who are in these mixed orientation relationships, I think that, you know, there's all kinds of potential complications. One, obviously, is your other family members may not know what your situation is. They may not really know who you are, so they might, you know, say things around you that without realizing that you're gay or you're bi or whatever it might be. Or maybe they do know and they don't approve, or they don't understand your relationship or whatever. So all of these things really make for a difficult, you know,
stress-inducing.
Right. And I mean, it hasn't really been that way for us. But I will tell you, I mean, over the past years, I've avoided situations where I wasn't sure that I was going to be particularly comfortable. And it's not, that's not to, you know, blame anybody or point fingers, but you have to do what you have to do to sort of maintain your sanity in challenging, difficult times. So, you know, that's really, I guess, what we want to kind of go into and think about, you know, what do you do in those situations? There's a lot of, you know, there are always these jokes or stories about people having these big arguments and confrontations and things like that. And for some reason, especially about Thanksgiving. Years ago, Adam Sandler did a thing on Saturday Night Live. I think it was on the Weekend Update segment where he was talking about how he couldn't be home for Thanksgiving. So he was going to, you know, share Thanksgiving, but he had a tray with a plate of food, and he started, you know, talking through the camera to his family and ended up like sort of like yelling and screaming and, mimicking, obviously getting in an argument with family members. Again, in the best of times, those things happen.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're not really living in the best of times. So, I don't know what the best strategies are, but obviously people have to think through what makes sense for them. And you know, sometimes it might be best to avoid those situations. You're put in a weird situation, too, because, you know, if you're with people who don't really approve of you or your life or whatever, then you have kind of like this weird decision to make. You shouldn't have to explain yourself or justify yourself or defend yourself to anybody. But on the other hand, you know, you also have the right to stick up for yourself and speak out if you think that's appropriate. So that I think is the hard, sort of like tightrope people have to walk. The difficult tightrope people have to walk is deciding between, do I say nothing and just try to ignore slights and things that people might say, or maybe they don't say anything, but you already know from the past, from their social media posts, from things they've said in the past and who they vote for or whatever, you may know what their feelings are. Do you just sit there and make nice because that's best for your own sort of mental health, or do you confront them and say, hey, you know, this is a problem. And I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, it's very easy to say, well, everyone should just try to get along. I mean, obviously that's sort of the general rule. I think you should try to get along with your family and your people around you. But what if, you know, that's more challenging for you. Maybe, you know, they really do, you know, hold opinions that are actually harmful to you, then their views and the things they say actually harm your mental health. How do you deal with that? You know, I had especially when it's family. I had a friend whose mother passed away unexpectedly, and he happens to be trans, a trans man. And he was then having to make a bunch of, you know, funeral arrangements for his mother who had passed away, and had to obviously contact a lot of relatives. Some of those relatives had literally told him that he was a terrible person, that he was going to hell, and, you know, all this sort of thing. And he had to reach out to them and tell them, you know, these were other family members. So his mom was there, maybe their sibling or their cousin or whatever, but they were all related. Had to. So he's grieving the unexpected death of his own mother. And then on top of that, has to reach out to people who have, you know, expressed really hateful views to him, to his face in the past. I mean, it's really just sort of hard to wrap your head around all that. I think that's a pretty extreme situation. I don't think that's the kind of thing that too many people are going to encounter on Thanksgiving, hopefully,
yeah,
or Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever else that might be coming up. But, you know, it's sort of ridiculous that people find themselves in those situations in the first place, that you actually find yourself either having to defend your existence, confront people who are supposed to be your family or your friends, who are supposed to be supportive, or, you know, just say nothing and sit in a corner and feel alienated and like an outsider. And none of those possibilities, none of those options, not a single one of them is a good option.
No.
But you have to sort of figure that out on your own. So it is a really challenging time.
Yeah, and it's, I think also, if you are, do you have somebody in your family who's in the LGBTQ+ community, be open and try to like understand,
right,
and like learn about everybody, because your mind can change, you know, if you have,
right,
a feeling some way.
Well, and one thing that and I think this is sort of a generally applicable idea. It's not necessarily just in this situation, but in all kinds of situations. You know, I think sometimes you have to tell yourself, you don't have to resolve this problem now. You don't have to come up with an answer right now in this situation. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to say, however you might react in that situation with a difficult family member, if you say something, if you choose not to say something, you know, you can always say, look, there's always tomorrow, there's always another day, there's always, you know, we can come back and have this conversation again. Like you said, you know, people do change, people's beliefs change, their attitudes change. And so, you know, even if you think a person is hopeless, you know, in a lot of situations, probably the best thing to do is to say, I've got, you know, time is on your side. Like, I can come back to this person another time. I can have another conversation with this person.
In a different setting.
In a different setting.
One-on-one.
Right. You can email them. You can, you know, talk on the phone. You can text them. And I am by no means saying that you should back off if you feel like you have to defend yourself or you stick up for yourself in a given situation. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. What I'm really saying, I guess, is even if you do, or if on the other hand you choose to kind of sit and not say anything and kind of be aggravated but not create a scene, those are fine reactions, but neither one of those reactions is sort of, that's not the final say in the matter. If there is an argument or an unpleasant conversation, or if there's no argument and no unpleasant conversation, but you feel lousy because you're in a bad situation, there's always the opportunity later on. You can always come back and try to fix it. And the other person can always come back and try to fix it. So, you know, I guess that's part of it, is don't give up. You know, maybe some relationships you have to give up on, because
True.
There are sort of irredeemable jerks in the world. I'm sorry, there are. But that's not necessarily the majority of difficult family members, right? So you don't ever have to close the door unless you really, I mean, unless it's in your best interest for the sake of your mental health. But 99 times out of 100, you can always say, all right, I'm going to step back and come back to this. I mean, that's kind of true for any kind of problem. You don't have to have a resolution in this minute.
That's true. I never really thought about it like that, but that's good advice.
Well, and you know, talking about all the different things that have gone on in the past few weeks, we also had, you know, on our last episode, we talked about how it was Trans Awareness Week, and we talked about, you know, things that trans people can do in terms of name changes and gender marker changes and things like that. But then that Awareness Week was followed up with the Trans Day of Remembrance, which is a day on which people, there's a lot of, for example, there's church services and religious services and things like that dedicated to trans people who lost their lives, usually through violence. You know, some, you know, unfortunately, a lot of trans and non-binary people are the victims of violence. Unfortunately, also, some people in that community have taken their own lives because of the abuse that they've suffered, right? And so the Trans Day of Remembrance was this past Saturday, the 20th. And then the next day, and I don't know who decides these things, maybe this isn't the best sequence of events for everybody, but the next day happened to be International, I'll try to say this right, I've stumbled over this phrase like in my head multiple times, but it was the International Day of Survivors of Suicide Loss. So that was Sunday the 21st. So all these things are kind of in my mind about, you know, as we've talked about, we have a trans daughter, we have other people in our family who are trans and non-binary, and we worry a lot about not the fact that they're trans or non-binary, that's fantastic, but we worry about, you know, the animosity that's out there in the world. And then also, on top of all of that, you know, this was 30 years ago, but I lost a brother who I was very close with. I lost a brother to suicide. Now, he was straight and he wasn't part of this community, but I still know, you know, what that loss is.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, that's the kind of thing that really kind of drives home to me the point that nothing has to be final, right? Like, I'm not here to, you know, criticize my brother. What happened happened, but, you know, if he had been able to say, I don't have to solve this problem today. It's bad, it's difficult, it's challenging, but I don't have to solve it today. I can go to bed and wake up tomorrow and maybe try again or feel differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the, you know, that is the thing. So all these sort of different thoughts are occurring to me as we're talking about the holidays coming up. And you know, I guess if there's any sort of advice, I'm not any person to give advice to anybody, but that's kind of my thought about all these things is whatever the challenges are, you know, sometimes you got to get stuff off your chest. Sometimes you're going to get mad. Sometimes you're going to express yourself in a way that's not perfect. Or sometimes you're going to sit quietly and be upset about the way people treat you or their attitudes or whatever. But today is not the day that it has to be resolved. I mean, if you have a conversation with somebody and there's a breakthrough, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
But if it doesn't happen on Thanksgiving or on Christmas or at a Hanukkah get-together or, you know, whatever, at an office party, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You should probably not get in these conversations at office parties, but whatever. But, you know, if you have some sort of a breakthrough, that's great. But if you don't, there's always tomorrow. There's always the next day. There's always next month. And it can be really hard to think that way in the middle of a crisis. But I think that's the most important thing, is to say it doesn't have to be over today. It can be unresolved. You can have unresolved conflicts. That's okay. And if there's some chance of like connecting with people or bridging that gap, then you try again and you try again and you try again.
And maybe by the next holiday, everything would be better.
Yeah. And I mean, I suppose the overarching theme in all this is that, you know, this is a time of year to really take care of your mental health and whatever that might mean, you know, don't self-medicate with drugs and alcohol, you know, see a doctor, go to therapy if you need to, get a prescription medication, whatever it is. But that's, you know, in that sense, if you're dealing with these kinds of challenges, you know, do what you need to do to protect your own mental health. That can be avoiding certain situations. That could be speaking out when you normally aren't inclined to speak out. That could be holding your tongue when you're normally inclined to speak out.
Being okay saying no.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different ways to do it. But, you know, this is the time of year to really be, I think, conscious of how to protect your own mental health in these situations.
I totally agree.
And, you know, just as an aside, obviously we don't want to convey the impression that people in our community are prone to mental health issues any more than any other community. That's true. That's not the point. And I mean, you do see that sometimes people will say, well, if the suicide rate is high among people in that community, or if suicide attempts are high among people in that community, or the incidence of mental health issues is high, then there must be something wrong with being that way, being gay or being trans or being bi or whatever it is. No, it's just that every community has a certain incidence of mental health issues. And then when you add in all of the aggravations that people deal with when they're in a marginalized community, whatever that may be, those things manifest themselves in different ways. And so we don't want to stigmatize anyone in the community by suggesting that somehow we are more prone to mental health issues than others. But you have to be aware, no matter who you are, you have to be aware that that's a possibility for anybody.
Right.
And you have to figure out the ways in which to deal with that. And while mental health issues are, you know, very often things like chemical imbalances and things that are internal, not, you know, external, the external forces are often the ones that trigger these sorts of problems. You can have, you know, really hard time with the holidays, and that's when you really might need to see somebody and to talk to somebody. So again, it's not about stigmatizing people in the community or making assumptions about mental health issues within the community, but in every community, there are mental health issues. And so in every community, you have to be aware of those things and look out for them. And in our community, because there are all these other challenges, unfortunately, that sometimes means, you know, these problems surface in certain ways. So I don't think any of that is particularly helpful. I don't really have any great advice, but you have to be aware of it and you have to watch out for it and take care of yourself.
Definitely take care of yourself, and you're first, you know, so yeah. Your wellness comes first, right, in those situations.
And you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. You don't have to justify your existence to anybody. And you can't, you know, however you manage to deal with it, you can't let someone else's judgment or whatever, you know, affect you. You have to be able to go into every situation knowing that you belong. And no one has the right to, you know, question whether or not you're a legitimate person.
I agree.
Anyway, that's sort of heavy for Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving can be a challenge.
It can be.
So if you have any thoughts, you know, feel free to leave some comments for us. We'll be happy to respond if anyone leaves any comments. And we'll probably talk about these issues again as we, you know, progress through the holidays.
We will.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving and a great evening.